Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason. We had a great guest last week, Father Tim Heppner. If you didn't get a chance to hear us on the radio over the weekend, please check out the podcast on the website at Catholic Spirit Radio or on Podbean. Again, if you're listening in Bloomington to 89.5 and it's a little staticky, you can always try switching over and listening on 92.5 in town. It might be a little bit clearer. We have another great set of guests with us this week. We are going to talk about the Communion and Liberation Movement, and then we'll, as always, we'll follow up with our gospel, which this week is from the first chapter of Mark. So we're getting all these first chapter gospels out of the way as we enter the new year, new season. But I'd like to welcome our guests today from Communion, Liberation, and Epiphany. How are you guys doing this week?
Doing great. Thanks.
Thanks.
Absolutely. So you, we were talking before we started, you guys are new to town, right?
Yeah, we just got here in August.
So you're loving the weather.
It's actually much warmer. Yeah,
much warmer. That's right. You said you were from Minnesota, yeah. So it's better than that. Now, you're from Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota.
And you're a fan of what, the Timberwolves and the Vikings? How about the game? Did you watch football yesterday?
Yeah, that was pretty darn amazing.
It was, wasn't it?
It was absolutely amazing.
There was some Holy Spirit out there on the field or something. It was unbelievable. If you didn't catch the Vikings win over the Saints yesterday, I'd go back and watch some Sports Center, catch up on your top 10. But you're from Wisconsin.
Yes, that's accurate.
So you're a Packers fan?
I am.
How's that work out?
It's been okay. Yeah, Isaac is pretty, he doesn't have very strong feelings when it comes to football. He'll watch it, but he's not going to fight anybody over it.
He's not a crazy cheesehead.
Yeah.
All right. So what brought you here?
So I came for my graduate program. I'm doing a clinical counseling psychology program at ISU.
Nice. All right. And so you're going to be a shrink?
Yes.
any particular, is there like different types of specialties?
Well, in my last job, I worked with low-income adults with mental illness, and I really loved that. So I think I'd prefer to work with an adult population.
Yeah. Me too. I can't handle kids. They drive me insane. I have five, but they drive me absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I have trouble. I just don't think I would be able to do very good therapy with children. But I'm really interested in getting into some group therapy and some family therapy just to check that out and see how much I like that.
Nice. I always liked the movie Analyze This, and I thought if I was going to be a therapist, that, have you ever seen that?
No.
He's the therapist to the mob.
Okay.
And so then obviously like the whole client privilege or patient doctor privilege, and you have to watch it. So I think there's like two or three. John?
Yeah.
Analyze This, Analyze That was the, what? With Billy Crystal? And he plays the therapist, and he gets in with the mob, and it's good. Analyze This, I think, was the first one. Analyze That was the second one.
Wow. Yeah.
You have to check it out. That would be, I mean, I don't think we have a lot of mob around. I mean, at least as far as I know. Going to Catholic school and church, I don't see a whole ton of them.
I can't disclose any information about
that. There you
that.
Go. See, maybe you're already, I've hit on a hot topic. So you've been here for 5 months, and you guys are involved with Communion and Liberation.
That's correct.
And what's that?
CL is it's a Catholic lay movement.
Okay.
So it's an ecclesial movement that's formally recognized by the church. It's not like some weird schismatic group. And it was founded by a priest in Italy named Father Giussani, Luigi Giussani. And so it's been around, formally known as CL, since about 1969. Started in Italy, and now you can find it in lots of countries. It's still pretty small in the U.S., but growing for sure.
And we have it in Normal now. And so did you guys kind of start the group here then locally? Was it was a group, I'm assuming, then you were involved with in Minnesota. And so you're now traveling down here, and you're bringing it with you.
Yeah, so there's a pretty strong community in Minnesota. And then on our first or second day, we came to church at Epiphany, and Father Eric caught us afterwards and asked
some really deep questions.
Yeah, he was like, what was your conversion experience to the faith? Or how did your faith become a central part of your life? And that was the after church conversation that we were supposed to answer in 5 seconds.
So it's understandable.
Yeah.
I brought up CL and asked if they had a group here, and he said, nope, but you can start one. I'd support you. And so from there, we got going. So
he actually was really excited.
Well, it was something he kind of already was familiar with on some level.
Yeah, he actually took us aside right away and said, give me your phone number and we'll get together. And he said that reading Giussani's books actually really changed his life.
So. Oh, okay. So he has books, multiple.
Yes, Giussani has written several books. And part of the charism of CL, what we do is we have a weekly, what's called School of Community, which we'll probably touch on later, what we do here. And as part of that School of Community, we read some piece, usually written by Giussani himself. We'll read it over a week, and then we meet together and discuss it. That's kind of the loose format of a School of Community.
So what, I guess, you said the groups were kind of, or the movement started in the late 60s. When was Father Giussani alive? Or is he still alive, or?
No, he passed away in 2005.
Okay, all right. So it was started like while he was still very, very much involved in the movement.
Yeah, he was actually a teacher at a high school in Milan. And it started because he would show up to teach religion, and he realized his students could tell you all about the Catholic faith and could tell you about the catechism and all the sort of rules, but they had absolutely no way of connecting it to their lives. They felt like it was completely disconnected, and it was obvious that the faith wasn't actually personal to them. They didn't actually see Christ working personally in their lives. And so Giussani tried to change that and really kind of gathered a group of high school students. It originated with high school students, which still is going on today. It's just called GS. It's like a younger version of CL. And then it sort of evolved over the years. So that was in the 50s.
Okay.
And then, like I said, the CL, when it was officially called Communion Liberation, was officially recognized in 69.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the things we've talked about previously on the radio is that the inherent beauty that is the Catholic Church and the structure that comes with that, a lot of times, to your point, can also be an obstacle to connecting that, you know, that structure with your life and your living of the faith as opposed to just practicing of the faith. And so that's interesting that he obviously, you know, that's a worldwide issue. It's not just something that we have here, you know, locally or in the United States, but it's a worldwide issue to the faith. And so this is really a movement to try to help folks overcome that obstacle.
Yeah, for Giussani, a big part of his mission was that first we need to relearn how to be human before the faith even makes sense. So we have to start with what are our human questions, what is our human desire, before we say that God is the answer to it and that the Catholic faith really responds to all that I am as a human being.
So what is the process of, you said that you guys have a weekly meeting. What does the group look like from a nuts and bolts perspective?
So yeah, it's, so we have the, like I said, the weekly reading. And then we come together and the process of reading isn't just to understand it intellectually, but it's reading it in comparison to my life. So what is happening in my life is just as important to the reading as understanding the very words he's saying. And then we come together and share questions about the reading, but also experiences from my week this week or this last month. So the reading can be about God giving us a purpose in life, but maybe I'll come and talk about insomnia and say, okay, what does that have to do with my purpose? And then as a community, we can really work through those experiences and those questions together to form a greater understanding for me how I can see God at work in my life, but also as a community to get to know each other and to grow in communion. So that's the communion liberation aspect. So the liberation is I start to see all of the different aspects of my life connected to my faith, which frees them. But then in that freedom, I begin to share more deeply with other people, and then that creates a community.
Nice. So it sounds like a very active small group. How many folks usually come out, and then is it currently open for more people to show up, or how's that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely open all the time. It's very informal, I think, in comparison to other kinds of maybe groups that people would be familiar with. You can just show up anytime. You should, if you're interested, you can email us for our local community. Because, you know, we'll send out an email saying when and where we're meeting, because that's important. But other than that, I mean, we're totally open. We've had meetings before in the past where it was 3 people show up, not here, but back in Minnesota, and then others where it's 20 people. And, you know, in Italy, in Milan, sometimes schools of communities are 80, 100 people.
Wow.
Like, they can be really big. So it really, we're really open, and there's no numerical value to it. You know, they can be just as fruitful, no matter the size, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the email address they can connect with you guys at?
So it's kind of weird and kind of connected to the theme of CL. So it's eyesonexperience@gmail.com. And so I'll just spell that out. I-Z-E-O-N and then the word experience@gmail.com. And you can email me with any questions. And I can get you in touch with people who know the answers, or I might know the answer, and we can go from there.
Experience is one of those difficult words. So it's experience, right?
Nice job.
For all those folks who get those I's and E's confused. It's like conscience. That's another I found very difficult. So I-Z-E-O-N, eyes on, and then experience, experience@gmail.com. And then you currently, you said you meet on Tuesdays, but you're changing that to a different...
We are meeting on Thursdays, and we're changing it. Most likely it'll be Tuesday evenings for the foreseeable future, but yeah.
Cool. And where do you meet at?
So we meet at the Epiphany Convent building.
Okay. In there between the rectory and the church?
Yes.
On the main floor?
Yep.
They don't put you in the basement?
No.
Good. So... So Father had put you guys on the spot about your conversion to the faith. So are you a convert or a cradle Catholic?
So I'm a cradle Catholic and Shauna is a convert.
Gotcha. And so how was your faith life through the high school years? Did you notice issues in connecting the faith? Did you go to Catholic school or public school?
So I've gone to public school my whole life, but... Pretty early on, faith was really important to me. I just saw a big thing for me was seeing the way my parents lived faith and how important it was to them. But then another big turning point was meeting GS. So I started going when I was 13. And so GS is the high school version of CL, of Communion and Liberation. And I was just really amazed by a few different things. So the first one was that people were talking about their real experience, which I found in school, is people would talk about all sorts of surface level stuff, and it didn't seem like I ever connected with them. I had all these really deep questions and nobody was talking about them, and I felt really alone. So the first meeting I went to, I fell in love just because people were talking about real questions. And then the more I stayed with it, the more I saw that the people who were living their faith the deepest were the happiest and the most free. And so that was so clear to me from the beginning that in faith is where I can find what I'm really looking for, that I'm looking for that happiness, I'm looking for that freedom. And so throughout high school, that was just ever present in my mind of saying, like, this is really what I want, and to test that and to grow in that. And then a lot of conversion steps along the way of, so, like, one is just realizing that the beauty and the amazing personalities that I found in Communion Liberation weren't just because they were amazing people, but really because they had found Jesus. And so that was, again, another way, another signpost for me, pointing me to the way, to say, okay, it's not just that I need to be really cool like these people, but I need Jesus. And so that is like how my prayer life really started. So all of these different steps throughout high school were really important for me.
That's awesome. I had a lot of questions at 13, but they weren't deep. I was like, were your questions at 13 deep, John?
Not very.
Mine were. That's fantastic. So that's why you're going to be a psychologist. You've always kind of wanted to understand how the mind works.
I wanted to know the meaning of life at 13.
Well, so. There you go. I don't know that I want to know now. I always ask specifically about, you know, junior high school, college, growing up. My kids go to Catholic school. My oldest is 12. And so I always try to get kind of other people's perspective on keeping them on the right path and helping them to find those events in their life where they're exposed to Christ and his heart. And because that didn't happen for me until much later. I converted in 2008/9, right, over the Christmas and Easter season into 2009. So for me, it was a very secular lifestyle, very materialistic, you know, growing up through those formative years. So that's, I always find it interesting, like, you know, what should I be doing as a dad to like make sure that they're not like, you know, following in my footsteps, so to speak, that they're on a better path from the beginning. So if I can get it. So next year she needs to be wondering about the the essence of life at 13.
Well, I was actually throughout school drawn usually more to the atheists in my classes because their questions were really deep. And so on the one hand, I had these really clear witnesses of the faith who showed me how beautiful that was and who showed me like a way to really grapple with these questions in a way that brought them deeper into more fulfillment. And then on the other hand, I had a bunch of friends who were atheists, and those were the people that I could really, that would actually help me get to the heart of what my questions were. They couldn't answer the questions themselves,
right?
But they were really important friends for me in digging deeper into what my questions were, because then those questions, I could bring them to the Lord. I could bring them to the strong Catholic people I had in my life. So it wasn't just a question of staying away from the bad people and being on with the good people, but it was really being interested in both sides for the questions and the answers.
And they brought you challenges, I would assume.
Yeah.
Kind of that iron sharpens iron.
Yeah. And so actually in college, I started a group, and it was just me and my friend who was an atheist at the time. And throughout all of my college career, our group was half atheist, half Catholic. And that dynamic strengthened my faith more than anything else.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You got to give the atheist credit. Like, they've at least tried to think about the questions, to your point, and like have tried to come up with the answers. Obviously, I don't think that they have the right answers, but like at least to your point, they're on the path to try to figure it out. Whereas I think probably the vast majority of people are, they're not concerned with the path to figure anything out. They're just like, well, my parents were Methodist, so I'm a Methodist. So, you know, my parents were a Republican, so I'm a Republican, or vice. You know, it's both, I think, with religion and politics. A lot of times, very few people ever want to kind of get to the root core of any issue, whether it's theologically based or our community and all of those kinds of things. And so it's always just like, well, I can't back up my argument because I haven't really thought about it. I just know like this is what I think, but I don't really know why. Or
yeah, and something I really appreciate about Communion Liberation is that the approach is so much focused on fundamental human questions and my personal experience that I can really that I can connect with people who have totally different beliefs, and we can still be on the same path together, even though they maybe don't know Jesus. And so what I found in that group is that we actually became really, really close friends, and we'd have these really intense discussions, but come out of them closer because we were respecting the fact that both of us wanted meaning in life and that both of us loved beauty and that all of us were struggling with what it means to be good friends. And so these things that are fundamentally human, we could connect over them and then start journeying together. And instead of starting with a fight about faith, we can connect on that human experience and then move together towards faith.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to take a break real quick. We have to pay the bills, keep the lights on. So send a check to John Hall at care of Catholic Spirit Radio. What's the address? 106?
108.
108 Boykins Place. I bet if they sent it to 106, somebody next door would figure out that it was for you, right?
Maybe.
Let's be on the safe side. We'll send them to 108 Boykins Place in care of Catholic Spirit Radio. Again, you're listening to Catholic Conversations. Our special guests today from Epiphany for Communion and Liberation, Isaac and Shauna, thank you for being with us. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
If you know someone who would prefer listening to Catholic Spirit Radio in Spanish, tell them about the free Spanish app for smartphones and tablets. Also, the Listen Live Spanish button on CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Si sabes de alguien que prefiere escuchar Catholic Spirit Radio en español, diles que hay una app gratuito en español para smartphones y tablets. También está en internet en CatholicSpiritRadio.com. En el botón Listen Live Spanish.
Catholic Spirit Radio was created for you to grow. Therefore, your participation, your prayers, and your financial support are welcome.
Catholic Spirit Radio fue creada para ti. Por lo tanto, tu participación, tus oraciones, y tu ayuda económica siempre son bienvenidas.
We are back again, Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5. We are talking to Shauna and Isaac, currently parishioners at Epiphany, longtime Epiphany members, almost 5 months now, and by way of Wisconsin and Minnesota, and down here to for Isaac to continue his studies to become a psychiatrist or psychologist. What's the difference?
Psychologist. Psychiatrists prescribe medications. They have their MD.
Okay. And a psychologist doesn't.
No.
They just talk about your feelings and... But they both have couches, right? Like...
Actually, only my psychiatrist has couches.
Oh. So you should bring that to your practice. Like, everybody wants a good couch to lay on. Again, if you watch Analyze This, there's always a couch. There's always a couch to lay on. I don't know that I've ever been to a counselor that didn't have a couch. What about a recliner?
It's a good idea. I'll write down all these ideas.
All right, good. All right. I'm glad. I might be your first patient. I need all the help I can get. So we're talking about communion and liberation, where you guys basically had, you said in the break, we talked a little bit about the fact that your parents kind of helped start the group or were one of the first members of the group in Minnesota.
Yeah, so they had joined the group as one of the first families. I think they were the third family to join in Minnesota.
Which is now, I guess, one of the largest groups in the country.
Yeah, probably third or fourth largest.
Wow, which for Minnesota, I mean, that's pretty spectacular.
Go Minnesota.
That's right. Go Minnesota. So, Shauna, you had mentioned that that you're a convert.
That's true.
And I'm a convert. I'm always up for a good convert story.
Well, I don't think we have that long.
See, I know. That's how I got wrapped into this radio show. I came on and I think like the first question that Bob asked me was about converting, and then like an hour went by.
Yeah.
And don't I was like, that? Oh man, I'm only halfway through my story. So So my mom's a mega churcher.
Okay.
And so I always tell her like, oh man, I talked to so and so about, you know, their conversion story. So of course she's like, what's that? Like, what do you mean? And I'm like, oh, Mom, you gotta know people with conversion stories. I mean, we should all have them. Obviously, you have it, even though you're a cradle Catholic. But, you know, for us actual converts to the faith, you know, a little bit more special. So what happened?
Yeah. Well,
how do we rope you in?
For me, when I was in high school, it was very different than Isaac's. I mean, it was different, but also not. I also had a lot of questions, but I very much identified as, I don't know, probably agnostic or something. I was pretty angsty and pretty kind of nasty when it came to religious issues. I was outspoken, but really kind of anti-religious. But I think for the same kinds of reasons, because I did have really like deep questions and I wasn't finding an answer. And that just kind of, you know, sparked it for me. But it wasn't until I got to college, I met some people. You know, it was a lot of little things. There wasn't like a huge,
sure.
Just a lot of little things of the Holy Spirit really working in these amazing ways to the point that I couldn't deny it anymore. That I was just like, wow, you know. So I actually spent my first year in college not doing my homework, spending a lot of time just researching and reading. And I went to all different churches and I can remember CatholicAnswers.com. I was on that website so much.
Yeah.
Just spent a lot of time doing those kinds of things. And my roommate, my sophomore year, was Catholic, started going to Mass with her. And I started RCIA my senior year. So,
wow. And where was that at?
That was at St. Lawrence, the Newman Center in Minneapolis.
Okay.
So I went to the University of Minnesota. And that was when I met the movement as well, actually, of CL. So what was really attractive to me was I was going to RCIA, which was awesome. I loved RCIA, and I loved having the chance to get into the nitty-gritty of, like, my philosophical and theological questions and issues. But that was at the beginning of my senior year, at the same time that I, per happenstance, met Isaac through a mutual friend. And started going to this weird group, the CL group, which is called CLU, CL University. And at first I was really resistant to it, but it ended up being so fruitful for me to have the sort of philosophical, theological, intellectual side, and then come to this place where it was just people talking about our lives and talking about, is Christ really working in my life? Like, this is the claim of Christianity. Is that true? Can I verify that by looking at what happened to me this week? Can I verify that through my relationships with others? That was so profound to me, and I had never experienced anything like that. So it was a really beautiful sort of complementary kind of group that I found myself in. And for me, that was just huge. Kind of like what Isaac was saying, that really that emphasis on experience is so big in CL and in Jasani's work. And I think it's because CL and Jasani really take the proposition of the incarnation of Christ really seriously, in that Christ is born and made human. Christ is alive and real in my life. I can actually see God working in my life when I'm doing the dishes or when I'm having a bad day or when I just got all ready for work this morning and showed up and turns out the office is closed because it's Martin Luther King Day and I'm frustrated. You know, all of these like
things. We celebrate that holiday down here.
Yeah, apparently.
In America.
Yeah. But instead of being frustrated or, you know, thinking like this is meaningless, which I think I'm tempted just like everybody else is all the time, CL kind of invites me to really take that seriously and to really ask, why is this happening? What is God doing in my life? Oh, I guess we were really supposed to be at this interview today. Like, you know, this must be happening for a reason. And really, like, to take seriously the question of why. What do I want? What's my desire? And how is God actually involved here in my day-to-day life? That was just so powerful for me and really helped me kind of fall in love with the faith.
Yeah, I think some of the strongest reconversions I've had are always kind of looking back and identifying those stones of the path. Like, you know, to your point, like, oh, I didn't see it at the time, but like, if this hadn't happened and this hadn't happened and this hadn't happened, then I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And, you know, where I'm at today is so much better or closer to Christ than I was previously. And so, you know, to your point, it would be much better for me to try to identify those on a weekly or daily basis as opposed to like, oh, it's been 6 months and like, I feel like I've, you know, kind of fallen back away and now I've identified, you know, where I'm at and now I feel better and reconnected and, you know, yeah. So I think that's one of the biggest benefits of kind of any small group is just that constantly being called to reflect on like what's happening in your life and how that, you know, relates to the path that we're called to walk. And so I agree. I mean, I think it sounds like CL is a fantastic kind of model for how to do that. So who picks the, like the books that you're going to read or like the readings? Is there like a schedule or like Isaac is just like, nah, I feel like chapter 3 this week is going to be it.
It's not Isaac. It's so like I said, it's an international movement and there are sort of heads all over the place. So we have sort of a leader in this area who's in Chicago. And then there's a U.S. leader and then there's, you know, the leader of the international movement who's Father Caron right there. You can see Julian Caron.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there is a schedule that comes out every so often. It'll make its way down to us. And it's always kind of a proposal, usually sparked by something that's going on at the time. I'll just say, usually no more than a few months out, we'll say we're going to be working on this book for the next few months. And then we have other kind of events. So we have School of Community every week, and then once a month or so, we'll have what's called an assembly, where we get together with other other communities and actually reflect on what we've been working on in the School of Community as a larger community. And that's really powerful to me because then it's like you see that you're sort of part of something bigger than just this little group in Bloomington Normal, but
yeah.
It's so much more than that. And you can share, you actually share the exact same experiences, even though you maybe don't even know this person.
So where are there other kind of groups close to us, or is like Chicago the closest, or?
Yeah, actually there's one in Peoria.
Okay.
That's where we started going and we were driving to Peoria once a week. And
then winter was coming and you're like, we're not driving.
And then Father Eric was like, you need to start a group here.
Yeah.
More like. And so there is a group in Peoria. They're wonderful, wonderful people. I think they're meeting Thursday nights right now. I don't know if that's going to change, but they're great. And then beyond that, I think there's a small one in Urbana-Champaign, and then there's a larger one in Chicago. Chicago is a pretty big group.
Awesome. So you were referencing their website. So if you go to clonline.org, you will find the correct website, but it's all in Italian. So if you go to english.clonline.org, you will find the correct website in English. And there's it looked like there was a lot of really great articles kind of on the faith and the Father Caron that you were talking about, that's where we saw his picture. So so again, for folks to get more information, they go to IZE, right?
Yep.
On O-N, experience, eyesonexperience@gmail.com. And that email comes directly to you guys. And then you'll get back in touch with them and say like, hey, come on out into the...
Yeah, so I can respond pretty quickly to emails and then I can direct you... give you more information about our group or about the group in Peoria or about CL in general.
Now, we had a guy in here like, I don't remember, John, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. He was talking about his small groups at Holy Trinity. They all involve food. So is there a food component to this?
We do, yeah. We do bring snacks every week.
So.
We do
dodged
a rotation.
A bullet there. All right.
We do, yeah. Wine is also encouraged.
Oh, my goodness.
Alcoholic beverages are always welcome.
This is my kind of small group. The last small group we led at my house, we started at 8, and we covered the readings for the weekend, and our rule was to be like, quote, air quotes, done by 9, and then we would have beers and snacks for like however long until I could kick people out, which was usually very late. And I was telling you, we have our Epiphany Men's small group that plays poker once a month. And it's very much the same. Like, we start with a rosary. There's always, like, food, snacks, and beer. And then, like, we play cards. But the entire... It always amazes me. And I tell people, like, it's the most theologically sound group of card players I've ever talked to in my life. And if they could do without the cards and still have a reason to meet, like, a lot of times I think they would. They would just be like... So I think they're, you know, we've been called to lead our lives in communities, to your point about communion liberation. And that, you know, I think I would really encourage people, regardless of what the small group is, you know, whether it's CL or whether it's a faith-based, you know, poker group, or whether it's a small group that just does the readings for the week, for those listening or checking out our podcast, like if you're not involved on a weekly basis, probably with people who are trying to walk the same path as you, then, you know, you're probably missing out on a lot of support that that they could provide.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say that I can't stress enough how important it is for me to have that weekly kind of touching base, recentering, reflecting on like, what is going on with my life? Like, again, like verifying, is this true? Like, I say that I'm Catholic and I go to Mass and I claim to believe all these things, but do I believe them? Like, am I living that way? So I would just, yeah, absolutely stress that. And to your point also, there are lots of other options. I know Isaac and I tried. We were involved with Alpha for a little while. Isaac wasn't as involved as I was. He didn't like Alpha that much. But we tried some other, you know, small groups and sort of gestures that were available to us in Minneapolis. And they're all great. And it's been really beautiful to see that even if one might kind of rub me the wrong way or just doesn't really like jive with me and how I think and how I live, I can see that it really, really is beautiful for these other people, you know? So I think that they all are different ways that the Spirit can work in lots of different people's lives, given their different personalities and experiences.
And yeah, and that's awesome. And to your point, like, I think some of that is dependent on the format of the group, like the actual structure that the group itself takes, you know, as far as like, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to read, you know? Or is this just going to be like 100% like prayer-based, you know, group, which is escaping me right now. What's the name of that prayer group? The centering prayer one? You know? I don't know. There's some prayer group that does centering prayer. It's like an Italian or Latin name. Well, I'm going to get nasty emails from the ladies that are in it out at St. Pat's, probably like, you don't remember the name of our prayer group. But anyway, I mean, they all have differences. So to the point, like, you got to find the group that is structured in a way that lends itself to where you're at in life. But then also to your point, like, it 100% too depends just on the people in the group, right? Like, if you don't connect with, you know, the 5, 10, or 15 other people in the group, even though the structure might fit to what you're looking for, then, you know, you're probably not going to feel like you get a ton out of it. What's kind of the makeup of the group that you guys have? I mean, is it older folks or younger folks or couples or parents or what's it, or is it just kind of a mix?
So this group here there's a lot of young families. There are a couple of families that have 5 kids.
I know how that goes.
Uh-huh. And then there are some young couples that don't have any kids, and a few single people.
Older.
Yep. And then one lady who is retired. So it's a pretty broad range, and each community has different makeup.
And you've already said, I mean, if you're single and you're going to CL, that's where Shauna hooked you in at, right? So, I mean, this is a good place to find other single adults that are sharing the same faith.
That's true. I would just also say that it's a really diverse makeup, but that's part of what has been so beautiful in my experience with CL. Our group back in Minnesota, we met in the Woodbury community, and we were the youngest, probably by like 30 years in that group.
In some small groups like that too.
Yeah, they're all like, could have been our parents. And it was amazing. And after not even very long, like these are some of our closest friends and still are our closest friends.
Yeah.
And to me, that's really testament to like what we found in the movement, you know, in that if you and I can sit down here and have completely different lives from the outside, right? You have like 18-year-old kids and, you know, I'm in my master's degree or whatever. But the fact that we can share the exact same experience and connect over these exact same things in this reading, you know, that's just, to me, that was so powerful and so such a testament to like, wow, this is really true. This is real. I guess I wouldn't shy away from.
No, I agree. Yeah. I'd say the first small group I was ever in after I converted was like a book group. And at the time, The job that I had was very like heavily dependent on more like evening hours. So I had all this free daytime. And so like, of course, when I signed up, like, and I said, oh, I could meet at like 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, what? I'm going to get a whole bunch of old ladies, right? I mean, who else has time at 10 o'clock in the morning? Not 24-year-old kids. Most of them have, you know, jobs or they're still going to school or whatever. So, it was awesome, you know, like to your point, like the vast majority of them, or not the vast majority, there were a few of them that were like widows, or there were a few of them that had husbands that had never participated in the faith, right? And they'd been married for 40 or 50 years. And I had just converted. And so, to your point, it's awesome when we can connect with people in a way that the Holy Spirit brings us together from very different places, but we can still, you know, have those connections together. So we're going to take another quick break. We really appreciate you guys being here with us today. We're going to talk some more about communion and liberation at Epiphany when we get back. And you're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5.
Hi. I'm James, I'm 13, and I listen to Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm into technology, so my dad took me to see the Catholic Spirit Radio broadcast tower. It was a very cool experience. When I listened to Catholic Spirit Radio, I learned stuff about the church and the faith. My family listens a lot when we're in the car, or just at home. Sometimes they go to the website to get movie reviews, or just to check the community calendar for teen events. I think other teens would really like listening to Catholic Spirit Radio, too.
Tell your teens about 89.5 and 92.5 FM, the free Catholic Spirit Radio app, its Facebook page, plus the website at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Catholic Spirit Radio is a valuable resource for teens as well as adults.
Thanks for supporting your local Catholic radio station. Donate online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
We are back, Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. Check us out at CatholicSpiritRadio.org. CatholicSpiritRadio.com. See, John, it sticks with them more if I pretend to mess it up and then I repeat it three or four times the correct way. CatholicSpiritRadio.com. I saw that the Podbean is now able to search Catholic Spirit Radio podcasts and it comes right up to the top. Did you know that? Because before you had to have like the link to find them. Now, if you go to Podbean, you type in Catholic Spirit Radio, comes right up to the top. They can listen to me, download me, take me everywhere they go. Me, Father Jeff's on there, and Bob is on there. Yep. Anybody else?
That's it right now.
For right now, we're always looking for new talk show personalities. So if you're interested and you like what you hear or don't like what you hear, come down to the radio station. John will let you have your own show. We have been talking with Isaac and Shauna from Epiphany. We're currently at Epiphany. How long are you going to be here in town?
So my program is 2 years, and then we're planning on moving back to Minnesota because I'm going to get licensed.
So we got 18 months to find somebody to take over.
I guess so.
All right. I was checking. I'm sure we can find somebody. It sounds like an awesome program. People should be like chomping at the bit to be in charge of it. If the group gets too big, then does it, like, split? Or is it just get, like...
If you wanted to, you could split it, but it doesn't really need to be.
Yeah,
you can make it, like I said, as big or as small as you want.
You would just have, like multiple people bring wine and multiple
right,
people bring snacks.
Right, you just need to
snacks.
Up the snacks, exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, that makes sense. So, you have 18 months left on your master's program. Mm-hmm. And then we got to find a nice couch for you.
Yeah, but preferably one that's in St. Paul.
All right, we can get them shipped. There's IKEAs up there, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get you taken care of. You'll be good to go. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming out and talking to us. I think that the Communion Liberation sounds like an awesome group. I think it definitely sounds like it takes what we've been, I think all the churches in town have really been stressing, the small group mentality, kind of to the next level, to say, like, you know, small groups awesome, but here's kind of a structured way to do small groups, and to your point, do them in a way where you're connecting not only with your small group, with larger groups and even an international group as a whole. So I like it. I think it seems awesome. I would again encourage people to go to english.clonline.org. That one was .org too, wasn't it? See, John, that's where I got confused. CatholicSpiritRadio.com, English.CLOnline.org, or to email you at IZEEYESONEXPERIENCE@gmail.com to get more information. Come out and check out the group. You said you're currently meeting on Thursdays or have been, but you might be flipping that to Tuesday or something. So awesome. Well, I really appreciate it. We're going to cover the gospel reading. I gave you guys like 60 seconds in the break to check it out. So you should be on it, right? As far as giving us some really deep reflection.
Oh, yeah.
You're still into the deep, right? I mean, that wasn't like a passing thing in high school. And now you're like, ah.
Yep, I still have questions.
All right, good. We're going to have 15 more minutes for you to fill in all the questions you got. All right, so this week's gospel is from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The gospel according to Mark chapter 1. All right, so now you're on the hot seat. What do you think? Does it speak to you?
It does. I can say what I just kind of thought of, I guess,
sure.
In reading it. Hopefully it's not super heretical or anything. I guess when they talk about when Jesus says, "Come after me and I'll make you fishers of men," and sees these other people still mending their nets at their boats, still trying to do their work. I guess what just came to me was about how I try to go through my life, and it's this constant back and forth battle of trying to be in control of my circumstances and trying to make myself happy and make myself fulfilled by my own means, right? And I'm working at it, I'm working at it, I'm working at it. And then something will hit me. Christ will hit me somehow sometimes, and it'll just be like, "What are you doing? You know, follow me instead. I'm what you're looking for." Like, stop trying to control these tiny, tiny little things that leave you feeling empty, that leave you still with the same desires and the same needs. Like, "I'm what you're looking for. Follow me instead." And then it's like, great. And then I follow, and then eventually go back to mending my nets and trying to go back to my old ways of...
Kind of like trying to go to work when they're closed.
Yeah.
And when you're just like, "No, we are going to be there today. Hell or high water, I'm showing up."
Yeah.
But look, Jesus gave you the whole day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have the day off. It's pretty great.
And you've been here for an hour, so, you know, we'll chalk that up to a missed opportunity. But you have the rest of the day to really find some type of deep connection.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts, Isaac?
So the part that stood out to me this time was the first line, after John had been arrested, because it already kind of puts the whole rest of the gospel in terms of this, like, lurking danger. But then that is when Jesus decides to step up and go forward. So instead of that danger being the time to run away and hide, it's the time when Jesus actually comes and is the most powerful. He starts his mission in that. And so I think that's, again, like Shana was saying, like, that we're called to let go of our nice, safe patterns and to follow him out into this kind of dark, uncertain place where it's possible to run into danger. But then there has to be a good enough reason to do that. So that puts it on the line of, Jesus, can I really follow you there? Can I really leave behind my security and follow you to a place where I might be arrested, where I might be put to death?
Deep. I love it. You know, I was thinking too, I think part of the issue that, you know, at least I have in trying to reflect on the readings as they come up is that you kind of get these, a lot of times you get the gospel where you know like the one line out of it, right? It's like the super like popularly quoted. So obviously this one is, you know, I'll make you fishers of men, right? I mean, that's on billboards, on like signs in the bathroom, on like anywhere you go, you could find somebody quoting the fact that, you know, come with me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so to your point, and I love it, you know, you take the first sentence in about John being arrested as a reflection piece, because I think a lot of times when we have a reading, you know, that's 7-8 verses long and we know the one verse really well, it almost kind of blinds us to the rest of it. You know, it puts us in a position where we kind of focus like, yeah, I've already heard this, you know, we're supposed to follow Jesus. Even the repent and believe in the gospel, you know, I think is a lot of times people, and again, it's not a bad place to reflect. It's just a lot of times, you know, we want to look again to your point for that deeper meaning in the reading, so that we're not just constantly, you know, hitting the surface level of, you know, what Jesus is calling us to do. And to your point, to really look at how the future apostles, right, John, James, who else was in here, Simon and Andrew, how they would have felt to not only be called to leave their security of their day-to-day, but then also to jump into a boat with someone whose last guy had just been arrested and like, you know, what's going on there. And I'm sure the prison system, you know, back then wasn't as nice as it is today, you know. So, you know, was he being tortured or, you know, what all was going on? And so to your point, like, yeah, not only did they leave the security of the day to day, but also jumped into a position where they had to have known that there was going to be or could possibly have been even more more trouble. So, yeah, I like it. Other thoughts?
Yeah, I'll share one more thing. For me, this also brings up the question of, like, what am I putting first? What am I putting before Jesus? Because to walk away from my father, when it says that they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him.
Yeah, what do you think Zebedee was thinking?
Yeah, but it also like puts the question back on me of what do I hold before Jesus, and what am I like? Not necessarily that I have to walk away from everything, but to ask myself, am I willing? It reminds me of when we were preparing for marriage, that I would constantly reflect and pray on that, and to say like, Jesus, until we say the vows, I'm open to your plan, even if it's so far different from my plan. Even if it means I have to walk away now, I'm open. I want to give you even that. And so that place of where is my heart? Is my heart given to Jesus now, even if it doesn't mean doing something crazy radical? Or is it stuck in a bunch of other places?
Yeah, I love it. I think that's fantastic. You obviously learn a lot from the CL. That's a very good take. Two different takes on the gospel. So I really like both of them. Anything else, Shauna?
No, I'm good.
She's wrapped up. She's like, yep, no, that's all I had. I agree with you. I don't know. I think we'll just leave it up to Isaac. He can take it over. Well, good. I appreciate you guys coming on. I really think that that what you guys are doing with the Communion Liberation Movement at Epiphany is awesome. And not just at Epiphany, in Bloomington Normal. Obviously, you meet at the old convent at Epiphany, but like you said, you have parishioners from other parishes, and I'm sure even would be open to non-Catholics, right? Anybody,
absolutely.
Yeah, anybody who wants to come and kind of just do life and learn what Jesus is calling us and them to do. So again, I would definitely encourage anybody who, you know, is looking for another relationship through a small group or a new or first time relationship in a small group to definitely reach out to you guys. I think you're on the right path. You have snacks and wine, so like you can't go wrong with that. What about just real quickly, because I have five kids, like, is there, can you bring your kids?
That's a really good point. Yeah, we actually make that a priority to have childcare every time we meet.
Awesome.
So we have an amazing college student from ISU who just voluntarily comes and takes care of the kids. And then we also sometimes will rotate and host at someone's house
who can
have the kids down in the basement with all kinds of toys and
awesome
that kind of stuff too.
Yeah. So again, I think it sounds like an awesome group. I would really encourage anybody to reach out to you guys and get more information. So again, they can email you at eyesonexperience, IZEONEXPERIENCE@gmail.com. Go to the Communion and Liberation website, which is english.clonline.org, to check out more information. There, like I said, there's some really great articles. I was reading a couple of them over the weekend. Some very interesting takes on the state of the church and Pope Francis, some really interesting, to your point, in-depth kind of reflections on where the church is at right now. And so, again, appreciate you guys for coming out. We look forward to hopefully having you on in the future, sometime in the next 18 months.
Yeah.
And because we're going to have to be doing interviews for whoever's going to take over.
Yeah.
You got to start training your apostles now.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This has been great.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. It was a great conversation. And again, everybody can listen to it this weekend on Saturday or Sunday at 3 o'clock or on Podbean. They can go to Catholic Spirit Radio or check us out online at CatholicSpiritRadio.com. You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley, Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at CatholicSpiritRadio.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's looking back at you at age 22? What do you hope to say about that child at age 22? If you're content to say, well, the way kids are turning out nowadays, counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest children he has. Or would you rather say he's 1 in 100? Morals, compassion, seeks God. Are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? You can't parent like the bulk of parents anymore. You will supervise far higher. You will screen out toxic media sewage at a rate unlike all of your friends, perhaps your family. No guarantees as to what will be looking back at you at age 22. But you want to be able to say, I think he's 1 in 100. Then you be a 1 in 100 parent.